Hey, everybody. You know, Mark and I have over 20 years of experience as therapists and as addicts in long-term successful recovery. We know better than anyone what works and what doesn't to break out of porn and sex addiction, heal betrayal trauma, and reclaim your relationship.
And we've poured all of our personal and professional recovery and healing experience into a first-of-its-kind program for addicts, spouses, and couples. We call it Dare to Connect.
At least four times every week, we engage with you in real time, in the trenches, giving you the knowledge and the tools to take back your life and relationship.
Whatever else you've done on your journey for healing and recovery, you've never done anything like this.
You know, Mark and I, we've made all the mistakes, so you don't have to. Don't reinvent the wheel.
We all know tomorrow never comes. Look, don't wait one more day to change. Claim your free two-week trial today at daretoconnectnow.com. Hey, this is Mark and Steve back with you. We're really excited to address this topic today. And we actually had a pretty good laugh as we were getting ready for this thing because we want to do two podcasts. We want to actually keep them under a half hour. And we thought,
yeah,
we can do that. And so
we're kind of like the Titanic setting out of port right now. So we'll see how it goes.
We were actually going to try to do a single podcast under a half hour, but we decided that was probably impossible for us. So we said, why don't we do a 40-minute or 45-minute podcast and then cut it in two? So that's how we're going to do podcasts under a half hour.
That's right.
We're going to do one and then put it into two parts.
It's come to this, ladies and gentlemen, to keep these things from being too long for you guys.
What we're going to talk about today is, as you see from the title, Breaking Free from Addiction's Victim Trap. And Steve and I talked about this. We've seen a lot of this in our practices this week. I mean, we see it all the time, but for some reason, I just had a lot of clients I was working with this week that were really finding themselves caught in the victim's trap, both from an addiction side and a betrayal trauma healing side. And whenever I work with clients where this victimhood is part of it, man, can I relate to that? Because mm-hmm. I spent decades getting stuck in this victim trap. It was just a constant cycle in my life. And so we want to make sure that we're very compassionate about this, Steve and I. We realize that it isn't something that you can just turn on and turn off. Addiction and betrayal trauma are very complex. There is an avalanche of emotions and, you know, things that come into play, and it just becomes overwhelming. You just get to the place where you just cannot see your way out. I had a lot of clients this week that were doing what I call wallowing. They're just so overwhelmed, and things become so dark and hopeless that they just kind of wallow around. And I was a champion wallower for many, many years. I was really good at it. So we're very sensitive to the fact that this pain is real. Feeling you have no other options but just kind of going into this hopeless, helpless place, it's real. And there really is a part of you that says, I don't know what else to do. So we're going to talk about that today.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you know, victim, being caught in the victim mode or in a victim state of mind or situation, there are multiple shades to it, right? There's there obviously is that wallowing piece, which I know you and I can really relate to. I mean, it was difficult to see at the beginning of addiction, while I was in addiction rather, but as I started to look back, I started to realize more and more and can see pretty clearly now that that was very much the case for me. It was, you know, I was, in a lot of respects, being the victim for an addict, for example, is really, it's comfortable, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. Familiar, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's not comfortable in the sense of being truly comfortable, exactly like what Mark said. It's very familiar, and it also, by a side benefit, does help to abscond for an addict, you know, responsibility to some degree or another for different parts of recovery if you're not careful. It's easy to get caught in this trap of, well, when, you know, X, Y, or Z thing happens, then I'll recover, right? I was, and you know, being caught in the victim cycle for both an addict as well as a partner is just one of the most, honestly, most hellish things I think that can happen in addiction recovery. I'm not even kidding with the addiction. Several years ago, I worked with a couple, we'll call them Tim and Ashley, who were dealing with this very issue kind of personified. They're one of the best examples I have of this. And obviously Mark and I can relate to this, and probably so can you. Tim and Ashley were a couple who had several children together, had built a really long life together, been married several decades. And there had been a lot of positive things that had happened. When I came on the scene and we first started doing therapy, both Tim and Ashley were caught, like in the deepest sense possible, in the ultimate victim trap. And there was a coupleship toxic parasitic dynamic going on that just kind of churned them over and over and over again. Like with all of my clients, I had them do daily journaling, right? And it truly took weeks and even months in some ways to help them to even just in their journaling that they were sharing with me and with one another as they were starting to do couples check-ins. Being able to break out of the cycle took a long, long time. Oftentimes I would get emails from them, right? Where after we'd talk in therapy about how to take ownership and the things we're going to talk about today, they would do that for like the first paragraph. And then by the end, it was, this marriage is miserable and wrong and destroyed because of everything you're doing. And it's all about you and, or what you're doing or not. And that was true for not just the wife, but in many respects for the husband. And they actually had developed a kind of a compensating mechanism where the wife, Ashley, she found herself going more and more to this place of just anger and frustration of, see my pain, right? Like, see my pain, see my, that's what's driving this, right? But she's caught in this cycle of I can't get better from this pain that I want you to see until you validate it. Until you acknowledge it, until you take ownership for it, until that happens, I can't be happy. And he would come from the other side of the coin where he would be kind of on the other end of the spectrum where everything's good, everything's great. I like having a positive attitude. I like doing things, you know, in a positive way. I don't like getting caught up in the negativity. And he would do that kind of as a way to compensate for that other side, which in turn, and he would say, you're the one bringing us down. If you would just let go of the past, then we could move forward.
Yeah.
Right? And what's he saying underneath that? What he's really saying is, I can't be happy. I can't have serenity. I can't have peace until you let go. Once you let go, then it's okay. Once you let go, then I can have that. So both of these people were prisoners to the actions of the other to find happiness. Yeah. And it had gone on for years before they came into my office. And we worked together for quite some time. And thankfully, they were able to make really good progress. But that endless churning, I see that so consistently in different areas of a relationship. And it's important that when you're doing addiction recovery, that you clearly delineate recovery of the relationship from recovery of the self. And that recovery of the self has to happen first. If you're not taking ownership of your side of the street with that, and we're going to talk about that and how that looks, you're going to be caught in this cycle of perpetual hopelessness, right? You're going to be endlessly frustrated. And in my experience, best case scenario, both people will stay together in an eternity of misery. You can tell I'm not holding back today. Worst case scenario, what it ends up in is the most drug out, ugly, unnecessarily emotionally wrenching divorce possible, and just rips families apart in like slow motion, if left to its own. And so I'm glad we're talking about this today.
And the amazing, what you just said about it, you know, ending up in this emotionally wrenching, horrible, scorched earth divorce. And really a big part of the reason that happens is because we stay stuck in this victim trap, this impasse where I need what I need. It's, you know, you need to be doing all this. And until you do that, I can't get out of this place. And we both stay there and we don't address and confront the true issues, the things that are really going on. And then what happens is that builds and builds and builds over years. And then when the divorce comes, that's when we take the opportunity to now let all of this out. Yeah. All the stuff that we should have been talking about and confronting along the way, we wait until like it's a giant, you know, it's like a big concrete dam that's holding it all back. And now the divorce comes and the dam breaks and it all comes, you know, this giant tidal wave of angst and anger and revenge and all the rest of it. And it all hits at once. And that's where you see these really nasty divorces. And it's, that's part of the fallout from the victim trap.
Totally. Yeah. Well, and it's just the gift that keeps on giving in a bad way, right? If anybody can't already tell, I'm sort of passionate about this subject. Sorry, 5 minutes in and I'm already like, bam, you know, just coming at the microphone. But I'm passionate about it. And I think Mark is so passionate about it as well, because we have lived this cycle for too long in our own relationships. And we see it with clients far too often. There's this needless, endless suffering component that doesn't have to be there. Again, the relationship recovery is a separate entity, and we'll hit on that a little bit today. We hit that on pretty much every other podcast, but it has to begin with the individual. Unless I am willing to exercise, well, before we even get into the solution here, the worst thing that I can see happening with this, going back to it kind of, you know, giving itself back over and over again to you in a negative way, is when I do see these divorces happen or these marriages separate or whatever in this dynamic, unless it's resolved, what happens? Those same issues, the issues that are yours to own in the relationship, but that because you were caught in victim, whatever side of the coin you're on, if you haven't resolved those and worked those out and worked on the self-esteem or the self-worth or the self-confidence or the depression or the betrayal or whatever it is, and worked that out on an individual basis, you will bring it into the next marriage. I promise. It will happen. There's no way to circumvent that, because those character defects, those character liabilities, those betrayals, those hurts, those wounds that we carry, they will, until they're resolved, they will continue to contribute to later problems down the road.
Yeah, it's, you know, as you think about that, think of it as you have all of these emotional suitcases. And if you're not willing to open them up and start, you know, sifting and sorting through all the stuff that's in there, you just keep, for, you know, so to speak, the bags packed. And now you carry all that luggage with you through the divorce. And now you bring all those bags with you into the next relationship. Yeah. And the cycle, the saga continues. And and we, it's hard to see that baggage, but, you know, we carry it with us. And it's not easy. I mean, it takes a lot of courage and a lot of daring and some trust, some faith, even I would call it, to be willing to pull out my baggage and open up those suitcases and let's start, you know, plowing through all the crap that's in here and dealing with it. And that, it doesn't feel good in the short term.
Totally.
That's why I stayed in the victim trap for so many years or decades, is because it was too painful to go sorting through all that baggage. Nope, let's just leave it packed up, sealed up, and let's just look at all these other things that are distractions from what I really need to look at.
Yes.
You know, there's a part of me that says that's safer, that's less painful, that's easier. And man, when you look at the midterm to long term, it's not easier.
Absolutely.
So, wow.
Well, and what we're talking about here is really like, it's like codependency incarnate, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, this is kind of the ultimate form of codependency, where I have I have surrendered my, what I've done is I've taken permission to be happy in my life, and I've given it to someone or something else and said, happiness is there for me after X, Y, or Z happens or doesn't happen.
Yes.
But until that happens, then I can't have that. And we've talked about codependency many times on this podcast, so we're not going to rehash that too much, but it really is kind of that ultimate expression of it. And that truly is the prison of the victim trap.
It is.
I'm stuck in this cage, and you know, I've got the carrot of happiness dangling like just out of reach outside the bars, and I've got to just wait for somebody to come unlock it in order for me to be able to get that.
Yeah, I kind of liken it to I'm giving away my happiness sovereignty.
Yes. Absolutely.
And saying it's all dependent on all these other things that are out of my control.
Totally. And this happens not just in a marriage, right? This can happen on an individual level with the addiction.
Sure.
Very much so. There was a time where I don't know if I did this like consciously, but it definitely was operating under the surface for me. You know what? God killed my dad. Killed him in the plane crash. You know what, God? I didn't want to get caught up in this porn, masturbation, sexual addiction, and everything else that came with the trap. But you know what? You off my dad. And if I had a dad around, then I'd be fine, because that's what the research shows. And so, you know, you took him away. And so there you go.
Yeah, there you go. I can't do anything about that.
Nope. And so then who loses, right? Me. And so anyway, that's a whole other discussion. But just kind of wanted to point that out. So we could hit on these... we could hit on the issues and the problems and give you examples for so long that you'd need to watch like 6 episodes of Care Bears afterwards to like be happy.
Yeah, you'd be like, oh great, I'm so depressed.
I'm binge watching Sesame Street after this podcast. These guys are like brutal. So
we better shift from all that to get into what are some of the actual principles to help me move out of the addiction victim trap.
Absolutely. And this is going to be some of the stuff that I used with Tim and Ashley. This is going to be some of the stuff that Mark has drawn on, and that both he and I have both had to learn, frankly, the hard way in our relationships and our marriages as we've gone through this process ourselves. So a couple of points that we're going to spend the majority of the time on today, or as in the case of this week's podcast and next week's. The first is developing a sense of accurate accountability. Okay, and what I mean by this is in my practice, this is a term I kind of developed that I use, or healthy accountability is probably a better way to put it, where I tend to look at accountability, like a lot of things in recovery, on a spectrum. And there are extremes on either side. And usually the healthy balance tends to be more towards the middle. So on the accountability spectrum, what we have on the one side is the extreme form where there is no accountability taken, right? We call that denial. And that's also kind of where ultimate victimhood lives in part. It's this idea of, it's going to be the other extreme, I apologize. With denial, the idea is that I don't have any issues, right? I don't have any problems, like it's your problem.
Yeah, right.
You need to change, you need to be better. And then, so in a way, there is still some victimhood tied to it, because like, look, we do need to make changes, but it's on you.
Right.
You fix it. You do something different, and then we'll be okay, or we'll be good. On the other extreme, right, we have shame, which is, it's just the polar opposite, right? And addicts struggle with this. Oh gosh, I've met very few addicts who don't at some point. It's this, because I'm the addict, right? And I'm the one who's brought the majority of the issues into this relationship or this marriage. And I'm the primary catalyst for needing therapy. And I've played a role in that in all these other ways. And because that's a majority, they almost go to that place of this is all my fault, right? This entire marriage is completely failing because of me, and I'm a bad guy, and I'm horrible, and it'll never get better. And that's also a shadow of that victimhood, right? Because again, what it's saying is I can't change. And so there's no point in trying, right? If taken to an extreme.
Yeah. And I suffered from that severely. And I see it with so many of my clients.
Absolutely. You know,
where the addict basically takes upon himself responsibility for everything. mm-hmm. all of her pain, all of the disruption, all of the bad things, and not just with regard to the addiction, but every bad thing that's ever happened to us.
Yes, absolutely.
Every difficult that ever took place was me, was my fault.
Yeah.
And I find that spouses can fall into that kind of victim trap as well, where they're like, yeah, it is all your fault.
Totally.
If you had just done this, this would be the case. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I didn't have responsibility for my wife's pain. I was the cause of a lot of it.
Of course. As was
but
I.
What happened with me taking this victim trap to the extreme of it's all me, it's all on my shoulders. I'm a loser, I'm worthless, right? I've harmed her so irreparably that it will never be healed. Not only did I keep myself trapped because of that approach, but I also was part of keeping her trapped.
Yes.
Because I wasn't able to do the things to help her to progress through her healing process with the betrayal trauma. I actually fueled it. And this is the paradox that we don't realize.
Yes.
This unbalanced approach doesn't only affect me, it also has an impact on my spouse that needs to go through her own path of healing. And I prevent that in some ways.
For sure.
I do this victim trap.
Well, and when I get focused on the recovery actions of my partner, lack thereof, I mean, you bring up a great point, Mark, something that we should have talked about before we started the solution side of this, but you're absolutely right. There, I mean, putting all of this focus and emphasis, right, on a partner for either the addict or for the spouse, we see this probably more commonly for spouses, is exhausting.
Oh my gosh.
Right? Wives, for example, we've talked about this in the last couple of weeks, who get caught in that pattern of, you know, they pick it up from various places, right? Sometimes it's their own making, it's family, it's friends, it's culture, it's whatever. But it's this notion of they start to own without even realizing their spouse's recovery, right?
Yes.
They become the police woman. They become the person who's like constantly calling them out, constantly interrogating, asking questions, da-da-da-da. And every wife that I've ever talked to says the same thing. It's exhausting. This is not sustainable. I can't do this. I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah, I do. I was working with a spouse, a few weeks ago where this was the very situation. You know, they're in public. She's watching his eyes. Where's he looking? Who's he seeing? You know,
yeah.
I noticed that he tilted his head that direction when that woman walked by, right? Mm-hmm. I got to check his phone constantly. What was that really strange text message? I mean, it's constant vigilance. It begins to dominate like every waking hour of your life.
Yes.
And the challenge with that is, how can I be engaged in my own healing process when all of my attention is going to that other place?
Well, it leaves no energy for it.
There's none. I got nothing left.
Yeah, I'm so on guard and defensive and on edge and reserved and resentful and whatever else that I am, that there's no energy left for my own recovery because I've invested in the partner. And I see, and to be fair, this is not just a spouse deal. This is an addict thing as well, because addicts feel that sense of this was a majority of my fault or whatever the case is. They will try to fix everything about their wife, which only causes more anger and resentment on the other side.
Yes.
Right. And so this accurate accountability concept is important, because what we're looking at right now, as I think about it, is it's sort of the opposite almost of the victim. What we're doing is we're enabling our partner in that dynamic to be a victim. Does that make sense? I'm taking on the role of policing my spouse in what he's doing online versus not, right? I'm taking on the role of being the interrogator and making sure I'm asking about the relapses and everything else. And it puts a guy out of that healthy box of, I hate this term because it feels a little sexist, but manning up, right? It takes him out of that box of being able to man up and show up and be able to say, you know what, I'm doing recovery and I'm doing it on my terms and because I need it for me and for my life and for my happiness, like we've talked about in past podcasts. And it reinforces that dynamic of I've got to toe the line so my wife doesn't get on my back.
Yep. Yeah,
right.
It removes the whole focus,
and for addicts, right? It's the same thing. I can't make a misstep so that she can be happy, right? She can't be happy. Anytime I act out or whatever, it ruins her whole world. She can't have happiness in any respect, way, shape, or form. And so, I've got to own that. And neither one of those is accurate.
Nope. And so, like you said, it's in between, right? Total yes. denial on one extreme, mm-hmm. Complete shame and ownership of everything bad that ever happened, and healthy accountability, healthy responsibility, meaning what can I do? What's my part in this?
Yes.
Is a balance somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
And it's a really important part of coming out of that victim trap. And
yes.
And so that's kind of a natural break in this podcast. And so this is kind of weird for us, but we're going to look to stop this part one about right here. And next week, when we pick back up, we're going to then move on to this part that we've talked about a little bit, but how to let go of your spouse's recovery or their healing, letting yes. go of that and letting them do it. Is a super important part of getting out of this victim trap for yourself, letting go of theirs and focusing on mine. And yes. so we're going to wrap up this podcast and look forward to picking up on that one when we come back for part two.
Have a good week, everybody.
That's all for today. Thanks for joining us. And remember, the opposite of addiction isn't sobriety, it's connection. Together, we can do the impossible.
To learn more about Mark and Steve and to listen to more podcast episodes, visit us at pbscpodcast.com. Everything expressed on the PBSC podcast are the opinions of the hosts and the participants and is for informational and educational purposes only. This podcast should not be considered mental health therapy or as a substitute thereof. It is strongly recommended that you seek out the clinical guidance of an individual qualified mental health professional. If you're experiencing thoughts of suicide, self-harm, or a desire to harm others, please dial 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.